You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
The use of irregular armed organizations to suppress democratic struggles by the poor has a long history in Haiti, and sadly, that history extends to the current government of President Michel Martelly. Jeb Sprague has just written a book on the history of these armed organizations. It's titled Paramilitarism and the Assault on Democracy in Haiti. It was published by Monthly Review Press. And Project Censored, a media organization that monitors news to see what stories should be widely publicized but are not, gave Jeb Sprague's book an award. Jeb Sprague currently is on a speaking tour across Canada and the United States, and we reached him this morning in Vancouver. Hello, Jeb, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio and the Red Eye program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Could you briefly sketch, just to start us off, the recent history of the use of paramilitaries in Haiti, I guess particularly since the overthrow of the first democratically elected president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide?
Yeah, so the basic point in my book is that every time the Haitian people take a step forward in promoting and bringing about democracy, they keep getting pushed back by these different paramilitary and army organizations and that are working in league with different foreign governments or different elite sectors. And so I start off giving the historical context of this, going all the way back to the early 20th century and the U.S. occupation, forming Haiti's army, then moving up to the 30s and 40s when Haiti had a very mass labor movement, pro-democracy, left-wing parties that were really advocating for change in the country. And that's when we saw the formation of this Duvalierist political project with Papadoc coming into power in the late 50s and forming the Tonton Macoutes, which really became the first permanent institutionalized paramilitary group across the country, this pervasive strata that had paramilitary stations across the country. Just in one neighborhood, the neighborhood of Bel Air, a slum community in Port-au-Prince, had three different stations with hundreds of paramilitaries that were used to patrol the neighborhood and leech off the resources of the poor. And this paramilitary organization was formed in support by the U.S., the U.S. Marine Expeditionary Corps in 1960 and 1961 trained the Tonton Macoutes right near the National Palace. And so I tracked that history moving up into the 70s when the U.S. came and helped form another group, and then moving up into Haiti's the fall of Baby Doc, which was Papa Doc's son. He left power in 1986 when the Haitian population rose up. And so that's a very key historical juncture in the country's history, because at that point the people were no longer scared of these Tonton Macoutes and the Macoutes. And so the paramilitaries had to sort of alter how they operated, removing their uniforms and working in civilian garb and sort of patrolling attached with the military. And so I look then all the way up to the rise of Haiti's first elected government, its coup, and the role of paramilitaries after that to repress people. To repress the Haiti's population, but the main case study of the book really starts in the early 2000s when there was a second coup, and to look at this most recent wave of paramilitaries, what I do is I have Freedom of Information Act documents, which FOIA requests, which you can get through the U.S. State Department by requesting internal government documents, cables, and then I have interviews with paramilitaries and business leaders and politicians, and so I get all this information to really find out in depth how these paramilitary groups work and who's financing them.
That's a fascinating history, and as you say, you're focusing on the overthrow in 2004 of of Aristide government, and which the Canadian, the Americans, and the French had a big role in. And I know you've, as you said, you've interviewed paramilitary members currently, and I'm wondering, are they returning and working with the current president, Martelly?
Yes, they're still around, and what's interesting is that under Haiti's, when they had these elected governments that had started to solidify in the late 90s and the early 2000s, for the first time, paramilitaries and their financial backers were being held accountable. Dozens were arrested and put on trial and placed in jail. And this is a very monumental judicial thing for Haiti, because these people no longer could have impunity for their crimes against the Haitian people. But what happened is, after the coup, all these guys have gone free and impunity reigns. The most stark example of this is when Baby Doc returned after the coup, and he still lives freely in Port-au-Prince, has never been in jail. Under his regime, tens of thousands of people died. And so So the book also is really meant to historically document this and shine a light on it. And right now, like you asked about Martelly, the current government in Haiti. So right now, Haiti has this neo-Duvalierist popular musician who's president. He got into power in March of 2011 after he won an election with a little more than 16% of the registered voting population, which was a really low percentage for Haiti. And after he's come into office, he has worked to rebuild Haiti's military, because what happened was, in 1995, Aristide disbanded the military and also pushed the paramilitaries underground. And so the new government in Haiti, using the earthquake to its advantage, because people became so distraught and by the earthquake, people are just trying to survive, put food on the table. The right wing has really taken advantage of this, like Naomi Klein's shock doctrine, that idea that after a crisis, elites come in and take advantage of the situation, doing privatization and other sorts of things. So that's really what's going on in Haiti right now after the earthquake. And, for example, they're opening up large parts of the country to mining firms at very low prices, setting up more sweatshops and things like that. And so this new government is trying to institutionalize a new Haitian military, they're using a lot of these old paramilitary guys in key positions of security within the country. So... And they want that force there. So if in the future, when the Haitian people are when they're struggling to for justice and democracy, they'll have this repressive apparatus there to repress the people, to attack them once again.
You mentioned the Martelly strategy of inviting in mining companies, increasing sweatshops. I noticed that their slogan for their economic policy is open for business, so I guess that slogan is really sincere in terms of what you've detailed. I'm wondering if you had any comments also on another military apparatus that's been established in Haiti in the aftermath of the coup against Aristide in 2004 through the United Nations Security Council. Canada, France, and the United States played a role in this creation of a military force, largely with Latin American personnel, called MINISTA. I guess that's an acronym. What role is MINISTA playing in terms of the current politics of Haiti?
Yeah, and Canadians are within MINUSTA as well. And why that's important is because it's really the coup pushed back Haiti's sovereignty, and it put in place this UN occupation force. And So the government has less and less ability to undertake its own sovereign projects, and the amount of money spent on MINUSTAH is it's crazy, the amount of money. And so so a lot of Haitian activists, when you speak to them in Haiti, they'll say, well, why can't we spend this money on developing the country? Why does it have to be spent on these APCs doing patrols? And it fits in with that following the earthquake when we saw U.S. troops rush to the airport in Port-au-Prince. That was the first response, was to rush military to the country instead of responders to the earthquake, sending in medical teams and canine teams to search out rubble and things like that. The first thing they did was bring military. And so the same thing after the coup, they brought in military. And what we know now, which is really interesting through WikiLeaks, is that after the coup, the United Nations, the U.S. and the OAS, the Organization of American States, they oversaw the integration of around 400 of these paramilitaries into Haiti's police force. And we also know from reporting at the time and also through WikiLeaks that these paramilitary police, they would be used alongside UN forces to attack pro-democracy marches in Haiti, marches that were opposing the coup and calling for the return of the elected government. This was in 2004 and into 2005. And this really led to an explosion of political violence, having these paramilitary guys integrated into the police. And so, and the fact that they worked alongside the MINUSTAH UN force in Haiti, I've spent time in some of the popular neighborhoods in Haiti, and when MINUSTAH would go in with these large vehicles, these APCs, they would have M50s, or these large machine guns mounted on top. And so when they would get in firefights with some of the different militants, or some people call them gangs, in Port-au-Prince, when they would get in fights with these groups, the heavy weaponry of the UN could shoot through multiple of these poorly constructed homes in the neighborhoods, and there would be a lot of people that would be killed.
I guess this is an impact as well on the approach to the massive need for housing. It was certainly great even before the earthquake. It's obviously multiplied greatly since the earthquake. But is this open for business attitude of the Martelly government going to do anything at all in relation to the housing for people?
Well, yeah, the Martelly government has come under criticism actually, because they've had these special police units that have started pushing people out of some of the camps that were set up for refugees, victims from the earthquake, because a lot of the places where the camps are set up are on parks or fields owned by some of Haiti's elite sectors. It's a very unequal society where a few families and some families underneath them really control monopolize wealth in the country. And there is campaigns fighting against this. For example, there's this Under Tents campaign gathering a petition and really pressuring the international powers that are involved in Haiti and the Haitian government to develop infrastructure and housing for all these people. And there's other groups, for example, the IJDH, Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, that is doing a lot as well, advocating to end the exclusion of the poor from Haiti's political process, because that's really what we've seen since 2004. The political party around Aristide, which is still very popular in the poor neighborhoods of the capital and in the countryside, La Famille Lavalas, they've been banned from running in elections. And so Haiti needs to have open, free, and fair elections where the poor are not kept out of the process. And there's a lot of other really, really valuable campaigns that are going on.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Jeb, and best wishes as well for your continuing speaking tour across, I guess, Eastern Canada now and down in the United States.
Yeah, thanks so much. The book is called Paramilitarism and the Assault on Democracy in Haiti.
All right. Thank you. I've been speaking with Jeb Sprague. He's author of Paramilitarism and the Assault on Democracy in Haiti. You are listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio 100.5 on the FM dial. This is the Red Eye program, and we broadcast every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to noon.